Today's episode contains an actor, and as it contains an actor, it contains language that I normally bleep out on this podcast, as well as more creative forms of profanity that there simply isn't a good way to bleep out without interrupting the flow of the conversation. Unlike the normally, mostly family-friendly fare here, this episode might not be suitable for younger children, so if you are listening with them in the car, maybe give this one a miss and come back to it later. You have been warned.
Well, hello, all you beautiful chicks and dudes of all sorts. This is Suave Rob Suarez, the bitchin' double X daredevil star of Suave Rob's Amazing Ass-Saving Association, here with another ass-saving tip, totally free from me to you, to help you save your ass so you can live to sit another day. Now, back in the day when dudes were dudes, this one dude, Benchmark Bob, buddy of mine, he had this little accident. He tried frying up an egg when he was totally hammered. So he washed a pan, then didn't dry it, then put a shitload of butter in it, then turned on the heat. Well, when you do that, chicks and dudes, the water makes the oil go splatso all over your own personal face. And good old Benchmark got his bench marked, if you know what I mean. Like, when he took his apron away from his face, it looked less like a face and more like someone had stepped on a pepperoni pizza. I don't like to think about it. But that goes to show you, you know? Always dry your pans before you put oil in them, man. Especially if you're frying an egg. Want to know where I learned all this gonzo shit? I got it all done up pretty for you in Suave Rob's Double X Daring Do, the first book of Suave Rob's Awesome Adventures by J. Daniel Sawyer. Come share the awesomeness with me, my brothers, because you never know. The ass you save may be your own.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, Episode 814. Hello, hello, and welcome to a very special episode of The Questions, where we hear from J.R., who rather cheekily asks,
I know you do audiobooks, but could you get an audiobook reader on to talk about how to write for voice? I can't help thinking another view would be useful.
Well, JR, it took me a while to get to this, but since I've been working cheek by jowl with a very special guest who we have on today, I figure, what the hell, now's the time to document the experience because we've been, for the last 3 months, hard at it. Knocking out the audiobooks for Suave Rob's Amazing Adventures. The whole series. I'm joined by the voice of Suave Rob himself, the creator and host of the Roundtable Podcast, the creator of Archivos, and the general all-around hilarious vocal talent, Dave Robison.
Now, I want to know, am I the cheek or the jowl in this cheek and jowl ensemble? Because this is really going to affect our relationship moving forward.
So you want to know which way the drool's flowing, eh?
Exactly. That's good process. That's just good strategy anytime. Thank you, Dan. It's lovely to be here. And JR's question is not particularly cheeky. It's actually, he shows a very enlightened perspective on things as authors start looking to find new ways to bring their stories to a new audience, into a new media. It's a very savvy question.
In the past, I've gone into techniques for writing audio, not techniques that are designed to make the audiobook reader's life easier.
Who cares about them?
Well, you know how that goes. I've got documentation about what happens when I'm on the pointy end of that stick, and now I've got recent experience with the opposite. But I have talked a lot about things like assonance, dissonance, language pacing, alliteration.
Oh, yes. Yes. For those that don't know, Dan loves his alliteration. Yes, yes, he does.
Voice and flow and other stuff like that so that it'll sound really musical to the ear when it's read. But that's not necessarily the same thing as making it easy for the reader.
Right.
But my general view, both as a reader and a writer, is that it's the reader's view to make magic out of what's on the page.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, no, and I agree. I mean, JR, dude, write your story. Actually, is JR a dude? I shouldn't assume anything along those lines. We both know J.R. Blackwell.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about J.R. Handley, who writes military science fiction.
Ah, yes, very good. So, J.R., I will tell you right now, write your story. Write your story. Don't worry about me or people like me who will someday maybe get down the road and read your story. You tell your story the way you want to tell it. You don't even think about it until like the second or third draft. And Dan, I'm sure you've mentioned this on your podcast many times before, but one of the best ways that you can edit your story
is
as you're creating it.
Read it aloud.
Absolutely. And if you have problems reading your work out loud, I guarantee you I'm going to have problems reading it too. So if you encounter some bit of consonant pairing that is impossible to affect by the human mouth, you may want to consider rephrasing that sentence.
You wouldn't have any recent vivid examples of mine, would you?
No, goodness, no. Twat wrinkle. Yes, twat wrinkle. That is an unnatural pairing of words that both of us can only just riff off because we've rehearsed it at least for 15 minutes to try and get a decent take. But there are instances where something ending in SH followed by an S, you know, wish sibilance will sound strange. And that happens, you know. And honestly, I would rather, if the words are good for your story, roll with it, man. I'm a professional. Anybody that's going to be reading your book has hopefully done it at least once before. And we deal with that stuff. That's fine.
One that gets me terribly, even in my own books, is SN. Like, I have to very carefully enunciate snake because my soft palate collapses and you can hear my glottis click.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And every one of us has those idiosyncrasies. I have dentures. And I'm sure you're dealing with that in some of the mouth noise that comes across.
The lovely thing is that you can see the bridge work clicking on the waveform. So I can just remove the visual click thing.
Fine. Yes, exactly. I do the same thing when I'm editing my stuff. I think more important than necessarily preparing your manuscript for narration is preparing your narrator for it and working out a logistic and a strategy of working with your narrator through the narration process. This isn't a hands-off thing where you say, here's your manuscript and get back to me when you've recorded all 8-10 hours of audio.
No,
certainly not. A pronunciation guide with you actually reading the words that you think I'm going to have a problem with. You know, like Drizzt. What? How do you pronounce Drizzt's name? The drow from the Forgotten Realms. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
I don't know. I've never read Forgotten Realms.
Drzzz apostrophe T. You know, that's
Drizzt.
You know, I want to hear you, author, read that name out loud to me so I know how to say it in the recording. So a pronunciation guide with you reading the name, so the inflection, the tone, the emphasis is on the right syllable. And
it's easy not to put all the words into the pronunciation guide that you need to. We had three interesting problems on this most recent project.
Centaur tits, yes.
Oh, four, yeah. So there's a Mare Tranquillitatis,
yes,
which is the Sea of Tranquility on the Moon. That's its Latin name. And, of course,
I called it Mare Tranquillitatis. And it's like, okay.
Well, there's this whole joke about how it must mean the centaur chick with peaceful tits, because mare is a female horse, and tranquil is peaceful, and tatas is a childish word for boobs. But it didn't occur to me as I was making that pun and sending it to Dave that any American who doesn't have training in Latin is going to read mare, like the female horse, not mare,
exactly,
because that's Latin pronunciation.
Exactly.
And there were some regionalisms, too, like in Suave Rob 3. They go to the Willamette Valley, which is pronounced Willamette, because that's its Indian name, and also because... So the default accent on the West Coast will pop the center syllable up for emphasis more often in place names than the default accent on the East Coast, which is where Dave grew up.
That's right. East of the Mississippi, it's Willamette. Absolutely.
That's right.
So yeah, you're going to run into those. That's going to happen. And that's why having a very open dialogue, chapter by chapter, as the narrator submits a chapter or a section, however you break up your book, go through it as soon as possible. Work up any pickups that need to be done. If they're pronouncing a character's name wrong, dear Lord, tell them soon.
Yes.
Because they're probably already forging ahead to the next chapter. And they're just going to
Otherwise, the number of pickups would just be unreal.
Exactly. And resentment will rise, and it'll be an unpleasant experience for everyone. Avoid that at all costs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's worth doing even if you're reading your own stuff, because that's the only way you can learn to self-direct, is if you're editing your own stuff as you read it. Mm-hmm. Or if you've been directed enough by someone else that you can pick it up and get an idea of how you sound. But otherwise, you risk getting to the end of the triumphant recording of the whole book, and then you get into the edit bay and you're like, oh, shit.
Crap.
I completely blew one thing or another consistently through the whole book.
Right.
But if you're at least listening, and preferably editing as you go, you'll pick that stuff up, and you'll have far fewer problems that persist through the whole book.
Exactly.
And,
and yeah,
to bite you in the ass later on.
Can you imagine having to go back through a character's name and find every instance of how somebody mispronounced that character's name? Inevitably, something's going to sneak through. It'd be a nightmare. So, yeah, save yourself that headache and stay on top of that.
Imagine if you pronounced Rob's name Robe the whole time. Swave Robe! There actually,
yes,
there actually is
Swave.
Actually
Swave
is a pickup
Robe
coming your way tomorrow where you accidentally said suavity instead of suavity.
I know. I think I probably said suavity.
You did that once,
like,
too.
Cavity. Yeah. I've always got a lot of pickups when I do a Sawyer book, and that's a combination of my regional and idiosyncratic readings. And Dan actually edits his books on the fly. I mean, you've changed your book as in certain sections when a sentence doesn't make sense or a paragraph doesn't read right. So the editing process continues long into the development of the story.
In my case, too, I'm really concerned with how it reads. So I'm like, oh, and in the last book, too, I sent you the wrong version of the book. So there were a god-awful number of pickups that otherwise wouldn't have been there.
There was
and
that.
I had to pay him extra for it because, you know, I screwed that up. But there were a few cases where you basically read the wrong sentence. You transposed a few words because the way it was worded didn't compute.
Right.
But it was better. So instead of sending him the pickup, I just changed the line in the book. Because it read better. And hey, that's
you
what
didn't
I care
tell
about.
Me that. That's
I didn't. Yep.
No. Okay. Cool. I feel like I'm a collaborator on your book now.
Hey, man, these books wouldn't exist if it wasn't for you.
Oh, God, that continues to make me smile. So, JR, that's my suggestion is not worrying about it until you get to production time, and then when you get to production time, staying on top of that and supporting your narrator as best you can by listening to what they're delivering to you as soon as it's delivered, jumping on those problems and guiding the narrator to the best possible outcome, whatever that might be.
And don't be afraid of the bloopers. There will be some. And if you are fortunate enough to be either editing the books or working with someone who sends you the outtakes as they come in, you can do wonderful things. And because it'll give you an idea of how different people I'm going to step out and do a little linguistic neurology here. Your basic linguistic template gets laid down when you're pre-verbal, so the spoken word environment you exist in before you start speaking has a musical imprint that it leaves on your brain. It tells you what words should get emphasized in a sentence, how a question sounds, what certain vowels sound like, how accents work, the whole bit.
Interesting.
And so when you write as a writer, unless you've studied the way voice works, you will write to your default. You can study the way voice and language works if you study poetry, if you study accents and language and stuff like that. And that's a good toolkit that I recommend every writer develop because it is so powerful. But just like you have that going on, so does your audiobook reader.
Yep.
And inevitably, there will be mismatches because there are idiosyncrasies in those things that go down to the individual family. There's language, there's nationality, there's region, there's micro-region, there's local social group, and there's family. And all of those things leave an imprint as far as what sounds good to your ear.
You know, I just realized why I enjoy narrating the Suave Rob book so much. Because you, in your broad spectrum of understanding, selected the perfect vocal profile for Rob to align to my unique composition of reading and word choice and inflection and all of that. It really is the perfect symbiosis between text and narrator.
It really is. I wrote the first Suave Rob book 2009 or 2010 or something like that. Yeah. And it was intended to be a short story, and it kind of escaped.
As they do.
And it was the worst possible length, because at 20,000 words, it was too long for any short story market to publish it. And it was too short to really publish as a novel, because convincing people that 20,000 words is a novel is a bit of an ask. So I uploaded it as a short novel with a comparatively low price, and just started sending it around to reprint markets that took longer stuff for serialization and forgot about it. Until a couple years later when a magazine bought it to do as an audio-only thing for their subscribers. And then after the deal was done, they said, we don't know who to get to read this thing. The editor's like, you know, I like this story and I bought this story, but I can't figure out who the hell to get to read it. This guy sounds like an insane surfer, and yet he's supposed to be someone who grew up as a female and transitioned to male. And I don't know how to find that voice. Can you give me some clues how to find that voice? And I said, well, I was thinking of someone maybe who is a contralto and can talk like a surfer and all this. And the editor said, no, I don't know anyone like that. I don't have anyone like that in my Rolodex. Just give me someone who you think can handle the language, please. And I said, well, Dave Robison can handle the language no problem. That man could handle any dialect you throw at him, and he's looking to get into audiobooks, so yeah, give him a call, see what happens. And then to myself, I'm thinking, well, he's not the right fit for the character, but he'll be able to read it, it'll be fine, you know, it's just for this thing. Then Dave read it, and I got a copy, and I was like, oh my God.
Nailed it!
He's just elevated the material. I have to write more books so I can hear him do this more. And so it is Dave's fault that the series exists at all.
That's right. That book two, book three, and whatever follows, I own that, that's and I'll right. take it.
That's,
I can take.
That's
I can,
right.
I got broad shoulders.
And we're even doing a little series of public service announcements of life tips from Suave Rob called "The Ass You Save." It's like The More You Know, but you know, a little stupider.
That's right. The ass you save
That's
may
right.
be your own. That's right.
Well, you heard a spot from it at the beginning of this episode, in fact. But yeah, so he's the perfect fit, and it's brilliant. So, you know.
And it really was. It was synchronicity. I mean, and it had everything to do with the word choices and my unique profiles. It was random happenstance. I mean, you couldn't plan this.
Yeah.
And it just came together. It was the perfect storm of awesomeness.
But failing a perfect storm of awesomeness like that, you will run into, and even in this perfect storm of awesomeness, we've run into a few weird linguistic pattern mismatches that,
yep.
You know, Dave will read something and I'm like, that man grew up in Pennsylvania.
In Willamette, Pennsylvania, apparently.
Because he put the emphasis on the word third from the end instead of fourth from the end, and I've heard that in Pittsburgh before. But the sentence makes more sense if you shift the emphasis one word forward, so.
Yep.
So there's the occasional pickup like that, even with a match this perfect.
Absolutely. And the only way we deal with that is with that constant dialogue, that constant updating and communication as we go through the recording process.
And to give you an idea of how bad it can really get, in the show notes below, you will find the blooper reel from Crud Rat, which is a full cast production I did of a Gail Carriger book. Dave's also in that blooper reel as well. Yeah. I narrated it. We had about 20, 30 actors on board. And Gail is another one who is wonderful with language, reads everything out loud, and is so goddamn idiosyncratic that even though I've known her for 15 years and she's been one of my best friends all that time, and I can speak and hear her language, oh my God, reading some of that shit out loud, oh my God. So click on it if you have no moral conscience whatsoever, because the level of obscenity it provoked from all of us was unbelievable.
And don't take that shit personally, because that's it's like acting. I mean, when you're acting, if you're truly in the moment, you're naked, right. You're raw, and if you're running along and you hit a speed bump and you're running along, you're sprinting, you've got like three quarters of a long ass paragraph knocked out, and you're going, I'm in the last sentence, I'm gonna to get this whole paragraph in one take, and then there's twat yes, wrinkle. And it's like,
oh, I began to live for fuck you, Sawyer.
There are emotions that come up and will be articulated in very raw and unfiltered yes, ways. Fuck you. Oh, yes. Many, many, many of those were escaped my lips.
Well, what was hilarious was that after you had purged that way, you would invariably deliver this amazing reading. You took just yeah, enough pressure yeah, off to really hit it. It was great.
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of the process too, is you know, releasing that charge so you can come at it clean and get the frickin' take.
I tell you what would really be hilarious would be blooper reels from Amish Romance.
What the fuck, Sawyer? Where do you come up with this shit? First of all, Amish Romance, and second of all, why would that be hilarious?
It's a seriously popular genre, believe it or not. And it's seriously popular because it's like super squeaky clean while also being seriously melodramatic and high emotion. So imagine hearing a take of this super squeaky clean melodramatic romance and then the reader stumbling and devolving into like the Aristocrats
in the middle of it
because they're so frustrated. They're so frustrated with the German word that comes out of left.
Yeah, okay. I guess the contrast alone would be worth the experience.
Yeah.
On the subject of preparing your books for narrators, no. I think we pretty much covered that fairly thoroughly.
But it might be useful to discuss how we do pickups, because pickups are something that everyone has trouble with. I arrived at this system after years and years of doing pickups a bunch of ways, none of which worked nearly this well.
No, and it was perfect for me. Dan goes through and finds the spots that I flub, because as he observed, I do juxtapose words because of my instinct. Your instinct as you're reading, you tend to go with that as much as your eyes. Or edits that he's making, or whatever it is. There's going to be pickups every chapter. And he lays them out with a text fragment of the corrected text.
Usually like these words should be these words or something like that.
This is what you read. This is what it should be. If there's any direction, it's included in as well. And then he includes an audio clip of my reading that needs to be corrected. And that's beautiful because that gives me a narrative context, a vocal context to hit. So I can play that back in my headphones while I'm at the mic and then give the same precise inflection with the correct words this time, which makes it a lot easier for Dan to slot in the corrected audio.
And if it's an inflection direction, the sample lets him pick it up at the end of the old performance and flow it into the beginning of the new performance and then end up back where he needs to be for it to drop right in. And it allows him to hear the contrast between what he did before and what I'm wanting him to do now.
Exactly. So yeah, those pickups are invaluable. We started doing that with Swab Rub 2, and it worked out really well, and I'm assuming we're going to continue with 3.
Yep.
Excellent.
And I'm going to start to get those to you tomorrow. Ha ha.
Sweet.
I know. Oh, I'm so excited to have this out.
Awesome. Very cool.
Well, that'll do it for us, I guess, but thank you for coming along with me, Dave. It's been a hoot.
Absolutely. My singular pleasure, and thank you for having me on the show and letting me play in your Suave Rob playground for a few books. It's been a blast.
Oh, it's been a blast on this end, too. Hearing your performance in the midst of all the crap that's going on in the world has been a daily lift. I'm really going to miss it when we're done with the pickups, man, I tell you.
Yeah, my work is done here. I ride off into the sunset.
Well, thank you for sending it in, JR, and we'll have Dave back here in a couple of days to talk about his other main life passion, Archivos. Until then, we'll see you.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners. Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.